This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so we will talk about that coming up in just a couple minutes. I did ask this question when we went to break. At the end of the season, let's just say, I don't even know if I want to put a record on it, but let's just say the course stays the same as what we saw in the first half of the season, so... What do you think? Three wins? I'll be optimistic. Three more wins this year? Is that optimistic?
Yeah.
Okay. Three wins get you to five.
I mean, optimistic would, you can maybe say six.
You want to be totally optimistic? We'll go 6-11. That's what the end of the season says. If they go 6-11 on the year, does someone have to take the fall? And if that's the case, who's taking the fall? Is it Andrew Berry? Is it Kevin Stefanski? Is it Ken Dorsey? Is it both? Is it none? What is it? Dan, who takes the fall?
I think it'll end up being Andrew Berry. And it's just because you can look at what has taken place with Andrew Berry and the way that these drafts have gone and go, okay, Greg Newsom's a keeper. MJ Emerson's a keeper. Grant Delpit's a keeper. Cedric Tillman looks like a keeper right now. If it keeps going the direction it's going, that guy's a keeper. After that, I mean, who else are we looking at and saying, hey, that dude's a keeper? I mean, okay, hopefully Isaiah McGuire takes off. He ends up being a keeper. But, like, boy, if you start going down the line right now and building who the keepers are that have come out of these drafts, it gets a little ugly.
I thought about
Jones is a keeper, but, like, now we're at seven. You've had four drafts, and we're looking at seven guys. I mean, that's a rough way to live life. And as much as you want to shake his hand and go, hey, great job on the Amari Cooper trade, at least right now, it's not a good job on the Elijah Moore trade. And you gave up more for Elijah Moore than you did to get Amari Cooper.
I just think when we look at this at the end of the day, it's really like the easiest guy to put the blame on is Ken Dorsey. I just kind of see it that way. Don't you?
Yeah.
Ken's
the
easiest.
The new guy that's in here. But the problem is you've, you know, once again, when it comes to the head coach, and maybe the Browns are operating differently. You blew up special teams and brought in a new coordinator there. You blew up the defensive coordinator from the original guy who was brought in 4 years ago, got somebody else in there. You blew up the offensive coordinator and brought in somebody else for that one, and the coach gave up the play calling to said offensive coordinator. There's nothing left to blow up. There's no other lever that you could pull besides the big lever.
Paul DePodesta seems to be taking heat right now. And if you go listen to the It's Always Game Day in Cleveland podcast, Daryl Ryder puts a lot of the blame on him. At least listen to what he has to say. And see if that's
what he does.
And that's a part of his argument.
So that puts heat on him from the fan base, but does that really put heat on him in the organization?
I got to believe he's got some input. He was the guy that wanted Kevin Stefanski the first time when they didn't hire him, right? And then they came around a year later and did hire him. I'm not ready to say goodbye to Kevin Stefanski. I know a lot of fans are. I do think there's parts. Like the first drive of the second half in last week's game against San Diego reminded me of the first drive that we've seen so many times since he's taken over as head coach. Unfortunately, the ball got tipped, and it ended up as an interception in the end zone. I don't know that every quarterback executes it that way, and I know that we're all sitting here saying, well, you know, Ken Dorsey was calling the plays there, so why are you giving Kevin Stefanski credit for it? because it looked like a Stefanski first drive. It did. I can't tell the difference. The play calling doesn't seem that different to me. Does it seem that different to you? Well, again, I think Dorsey is looking at the same menu that Kevin had, and he's just saying, you know what? Not going with the chicken wings for an order of this time. I'm going with spin dip.
We're two games in. You need more evidence before you sit back there and go, okay, this looks different. This is happening different. But through all the tape guys that you talk to, the people who really dig deep into this whole thing, they're saying it's the same offense. It's the same general concepts. It's the same general ideas. And, you know, that's the problem. I think it's Barry because you could point to it and go, look, the guys that you have brought in to supplement this roster in an inexpensive manner have not produced at a level that was needed. Take care of yourself. I mean, that's the thing that we're there. Like, okay, Denzel Ward, that was a John Dorsey pick. You re-signed him. Good job. Myles Garrett, that was a John Dorsey pick. You re-signed him. Good job. Wyatt Teller, that was a John Dorsey pick. You re-signed him. Good job. Joe Bitonio, guys might be going to the Hall of Fame. You just re-signed him. Good job. Like, Jack Conklin, that was one of his moves. Okay. He's been banged up a whole bunch. Really can't point to him and go, oh my gosh, Andrew Berry, what a horrible move. He's been hurt. That's like, man, that's just bad luck. And then the ultimate one hanging over your head. Four, who's in charge of making that move? And nobody knows, because they'll all continue to say the same thing, which is that we made it together as a group.
At the end of the season, who's going to take the fall? Nobody, maybe? A couple people? You tell me. Demos is in Shaker Heights. Demos.
Hey,
what's happening, Demos?
Good, how are you, man?
Hey. So I work in the field of analytics, okay? And it's more in the business side of things, not the playing side. Mm-hmm. But whoever is in charge of the analytics, and I suspect it's Dee Podesta, he's been there long enough, and the point of using the analytics is using the data to help make better decisions about things, like the whole going for it on fourth down all the time, right? Mm-hmm. That's completely based in that realm.
Right.
So for this team and these players to have had this, you know, if you look at the entire Haslam era that has been guided by analytics, supposedly, it's failing. And if he's the head of it, then other NFL teams that use a, you know, maybe a different form or style of analytics, they're doing better than we are. And if that's where this is coming from, if the head, you know, if the fish rots from the head first, it might be Dee Podesta, and that's what I would look at myself, because you just can't. Here's the problem with, like, analytics. You only have 53 players, okay? From a sample size alone, and you make big sweeping decisions about groups of players or type of player, and you put them in this bucket, and you think that all these pieces together are going to work. His style isn't working. He's got to go.
Well, let me add this, because thank you for the phone call, Demos. Yeah. We love when you call. Daryl Ryder said this again yesterday on the podcast, and he put this on X the other day too, that if you want to look at Dee Podesta's numbers, after the 1-31 start over his first 2 years, the team that went 13-8-1 over the next 2 years, and then they went 39-37 from 20-24. That also includes two playoff seasons and one playoff victory. So, I mean, you're looking at the numbers that he's given you after that 1-31 start, and is that enough? Because, you know, should you be over 500? Is that effective? Does that mean that the job has been successful? Is Dee Podesta the answer?
Okay, fine. Congrats. You know, you got your pound of flesh. I don't know what Dee Podesta changes by saying, okay, this guy is out, when I don't know what he does. That's the problem of Paul Dee Podesta, and everybody's screaming about, oh, it's got to be Dee Podesta. He's got to go. He's the one that's the problem. It's like, do you know that? Because I don't know what the hell he does. He could be in charge of football operation analytics. He could be in charge of the analytics involving concession stands. He could be in charge of the business analytics that comes from the TV money.
You know
money.
That he's... He could be, come on. You know he's involved in...
He could be in charge of the Haslam Sports Group analytics. You don't know. You flat out don't know. You're just pointing at something and going, him, he's the problem, because I don't know what he does. That's the problem I have with Dee Podesta going, well, that's the one that's got to be fired. Okay, good. You got a pound of flesh. Maybe that gives you the pound of flesh. But he might not have anything to do with what the Browns are doing right now. It may have more to do with what the Milwaukee Bucks are doing. It may have more to do with the Columbus Crew.
I don't know. There was talk at the Greenbrier. At the Greenbrier, Jimmy Haslam had said, and I asked Daryl this again yesterday because I wasn't in the scrum for this. He said that his contract had not yet been renewed and was not being renewed at that point. Now, I don't know where they're at this point in the game. And like I say, it's only the truth until you step in front of the microphone when you walk off the podium.
Right.
The truth can change 2 seconds later. But he is the chief strategy officer. That's what his job is. That's what he's done before.
Right. What does that even mean?
Chief strategy officer. Well, don't you think that means long-term strategic planning in all aspects of the game? I'm just saying. 216-474-0092. Let's bring in Seth DeVolve next, former Browns tight end. We will come back to the subject here, so hang tight if you're on the phone lines. Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.